Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books, indeed. Every Tuesday on this program, we welcome an independent bookseller to join us and to tell us the wonderful, wonderful books that they have on their shelves to share with us. You know, sometimes browsing can be so confusing. Well, that's why we have wonderful booksellers to come and help us through the process today. Connie Brooks of Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, joins us with an extraordinary list of fine tomes, and it is a pleasure to welcome Connie back to the roundtable. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to see you. Thank you very much for being here.
Good to be here.
You've got a great list. Where would you like to begin?
It is a really great list. I had fun working on this list. So I'm going to start with Frog Music, which is the new book by Emma Donahue. No relation. I think different spelling, maybe?
Same spelling.
But no relation.
That I know of, anyway.
You may recognize Emma Donahue as the author of the gripping bestseller Room, which came out a couple of years ago. For her new book, a literary crime novel, she looks back to a long-forgotten, never-solved crime, which took place in San Francisco in the summer of 1876. The city is experiencing a record-breaking heat wave, as well as a smallpox epidemic. And in the midst of all of this, a young woman named Jenny Bonnet is shot dead through the window of a saloon at a railroad station. The survivor, her friend Blanche Bounon, is a French burlesque dancer. Over the course of several days, she will risk everything to bring Jenny's murderer to justice if the murderer doesn't track her down first. The story Blanche struggles to piece together is one that involves jealous men, notorious women, and damaged children. It's the secret life of Jenny herself, which must be unraveled.
I love this book.
Mm.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I believe that you're right that it is a different spelling.
I may have gotten the spelling wrong on there too, but
yeah,
I think
but I think there's a G
in there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But close enough. We all came from the same area.
Exactly.
we still could be related. We don't know. Next up,
I brought in. So sticking with fiction for a minute, The Wives of Los Alamos by Tara Shea Nesbitt. Nesbitt, in this new novel, imagines what life was like for the wives relocated with their husbands in the 1940s to Los Alamos, where the atomic bomb was being developed in a project that the public didn't even know existed. Imagine being located in a rugged and remote military town where everything, including your husband's work, is top secret. Their average age was 25, and they came from as far away as Paris and London. The bomb was being invented under a cloak of intense secrecy. But also life went on. Babies were being born, friendships were made and broken, and a strange community was forming. They couldn't write letters home, they couldn't discuss the strain their husbands were under, and the toughest times were yet to come as they began to understand their contributions to a project that created the most destructive weapon in the history of mankind.
I love books like this.
Mm, so do I.
Joseph Cannon wrote a great book on Los Alamos. I love this kind of fiction. So good stuff. The Wives of Los Alamos. It is by Tara Shea Nesbitt. Is that how we're going to pronounce
that? That's how I'm going to pronounce it. I'm going with that.
Excellent. So if someone walks into your store and says Tara Shea Nesbitt, you'll know what to give them.
Exactly.
Again, the book is The Wives of Los Alamos.
Next, one more fiction book. This is a lovely little book called The Guest Cat. It's by Takashi Hiraide and translated by Eric Siland. It's a book of prose by the acclaimed poet Hiraide. It was a bestseller in France and the winner of Japan's Kiyama Shohei Literary Award. A couple in their 30s live in a small rented cottage in a quiet part of Tokyo. They work at home, freelance copy editing. They no longer have much to say to one another. But one day a cat invites itself into their small kitchen. It leaves, but the next day comes again, and then again, and again. Soon they are buying treats for the cat and enjoying talks about the animal and all its little ways. Life suddenly seems to have more promise for the husband and wife, and the days have more light and color. The novel brims with small joys and moments of staggering poetic beauty, and ultimately it is a reflection on the transient nature of life. Gorgeous.
Good stuff. The Guest Cat. And then we move to nonfiction?
We move to nonfiction. So, you know, as we know, there's at least two books about the Rockefellers out right now. There's Walter Kern's book about Clark Rockefeller, who wasn't really a Rockefeller. But there is also this one, Savage Harvest, a tale of cannibals, colonialism, and Michael Rockefeller's tragic quest for primitive art by Carl Hoffman. And this is the story about a half-century-old mystery, whatever happened to Nelson Rockefeller's son, Michael. On November 21st, 1961, Michael C. Rockefeller, the 23-year-old son of New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller, vanished off the coast of southwest New Guinea when his catamaran capsized while crossing a turbulent river. He was on an expedition to collect art for the Museum of Primitive Art, which his father had founded in 1957. And his expedition partner, who stayed with the boat and was later rescued, shared Michael's final words as he swam for help, "I think I can make it." Despite exhaustive searches, no trace of Rockefeller was ever found. Soon after his disappearance, rumors surfaced that he'd been killed and ceremonially eaten by a local tribe, a tribe of warriors whose complex culture was built around sacred reciprocal violence, headhunting, and ritual cannibalism. The Dutch government and the Rockefeller family denied the story, and Michael's death was officially ruled a drowning. Doubts have lingered for years, and sensational rumors and stories have fueled speculation for decades. So retracing Rockefeller's steps, journalist Carl Hoffman traveled to the jungles of New Guinea, and he immerses himself in the world of this tribe, the Asmat. Through exhaustive research, he uncovered never-before-seen original documents and located witnesses willing to speak publicly after 50 years. It's really rich terrain for a book. It's about colonialism and power and really the clash between the supposed civilized world and the exotic other. But it's also just a plain, mesmerizing, mysterious tale.
Interesting stuff. I've read about, I haven't read the book, but I've read about it, and it sounds fascinating. It's Savage Harvest, a tale of cannibals, colonialism, and Michael Rockefeller's tragic quest for primitive art. It is by Carl Hoffman.
Next, I have a beautiful little book. It's called Lily by Marcia Reese, and we're actually doing a author talk, a Curiosity Forum event with Marcia on April 13th at 4 o'clock, which is at Hubbard Hall right in Cambridge. The lily is a flower of contradictions. It represents both life and death, appearing at both weddings and funerals. In their pure white form, lilies are a symbol of innocence, chastity, and purity of heart. But in contrast, highly fragrant and intensely colored lilies symbolize passion and the exotic. In her book, Reese explores these paradoxes, tracing the flower's cultural significance in art, literature, religion, and popular entertainment throughout history. Reese journeys from the tomb carvings of ancient Egypt to the paintings of Claude Monet, Georgia O'Keeffe, and Salvador Dali, exploring the lily as a subject of fascination and obsession. Lily is not only a book for gardeners and those who admire the flower, but also for anyone who appreciates how delving into one specific subject can reveal so much about history, art, and culture.
It is Lily by Marcia Reese, and the event is the 13th of April at 4 o'clock at the Freight Depot Theater, which is right behind your bookstore in Cambridge, New York. And we'll tell you information on how you can find out about that event and all of the other good stuff that is happening at Bat and Kill Books at the end of the segment. Next is another person who will be part of a Curiosity Forum event.
That's right. This is The Civil War Lover's Guide to New York City by Bill Morgan. And Bill will be talking on May the 1st at 7 o'clock, also at the Freight Depot Theater at Hubbard Hall. And few of us might immediately associate New York City with the Civil War, but there is much to be said about the metropolis's relation to the war that divided the nation. Not only was the city largely sympathetic to the South, but its citizens twice voted overwhelmingly against Abraham Lincoln, and the mayor refused to fly the American flag over City Hall on the day of his inauguration. On the other hand, the USS Monitor, the country's first ironclad, was designed and built here. And by the time the war ended, New York had provided more men, equipment, and supplies for the Union than any other city in the North. A dozen Civil War-era forts still stand. In fact, the star-shaped bastion upon which the Statue of Liberty rests was a giant supply depot. You can visit the theater where Dixie was first performed, and you can visit the house where Stephen Crane wrote The Red Badge of Courage. Morgan's book is a unique history of both the war and of New York.
It is Bill Morgan, The Civil War Lover's Guide to New York City. The event is the 1st of May at 7 o'clock, again, at the Freight Depot Theater, and it's a curiosity forum. And these curiosity forums are really cool. You get neat people.
Mm-hmm.
You bring them in, and then they talk about things, and then people, your audiences are great.
They are great. They're really wonderful. Yeah, we are kind
of...
They
are curious.
They're very curious. And our kind of guiding philosophy or the thing behind the Curiosity Forum is we want people who are passionate about their subject.
Yeah.
And that's... Those people are out there and they're actually not that hard to find and they make for fascinating talks because they know about their subjects and then they're really
cool.
Interesting.
Whether it be the Lily or the Civil War.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So again, you can find out information and we'll give you the information at the end of the segment. And finally.
Well, last book. So April is National Poetry Month. So I brought in one of my favorite new collections and this is one for children. It's a lovely book called Firefly July, A Year of Very Short Poems. And it's by Paul Janechku and illustrated by Melissa Sweet. The 36 poems in this collection, which are arranged by season, were selected by poet and anthologist Paul Janechku. The delightful and richly imagined illustrations were done by Caldecott honoree Melissa Sweet in a book that will delight young children as well as adults. With poems from Ted Kooser, Emily Dickinson, Robert Frost, and many others, this collection will remind readers both young and old that a few perfect words and pictures can make the world glow. And it's just gorgeous.
Firefly July, A Year of Very Short Poems by Paul Janechku and illustrated by Melissa Sweet. Anything else you want to tell us about?
Boy, there's a lot going on in Cambridge coming up in April. This weekend is the tour of the Battenkill, April 5th and 6th, where we have thousands of bicycle racers come to town and
right.
They race all over the back roads and try not to get hurt. Oh gosh, at the bookstore we have World Book Night comes up in April 23rd, and that's a nationwide effort when thousands of volunteers go out on one day and give away thousands and thousands and thousands of free books. We'll be giving out books. We're partnering with the Cambridge Library to give out books on April 23rd.
That's terrific.
And then one of my favorite events is the Washington County Fiber Tour, which is the 26th and 27th of this month, and you get to visit alpacas and sheep and all kinds of things. And
baby sheep.
And you see, I brought my knitting. I have my knitting in the studio
yes,
today.
You do.
So yeah, that one's close to my heart. Baby sheep. Yeah, you get to see the babies.
The lambs are so sweet. Oh my
yeah.
God.
So the kids love it. Adults love it. It's just a great weekend to drive around the county.
Very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, it's battenkillbooks.com to
That's
find
right.
out more information. Battenkillbooks.com will tell you about, because you have to go visit the store. It's right on Main Street in Cambridge. And for more information, just go to battenkillbooks.com and you can find out more information about the Marsha Reese and Bill Morgan event as well as Connie's complete list. You can also find all of that information on our website, which is wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Connie, it's always a pleasure to have you here and thank you very much. And I'll be seeing you in the store soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.